Let's read John chapter number 4. We're going to read verse number 24 this morning. But I'm going to back up because I'm throwing a little monkey into this wrench here. Verse number 15, it says, "The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said to her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and he saith that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." How to worship, week number 3, and that title is In Truth and in Spirit. But let's read this out loud this morning, verse number 24. All together now. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be back here this morning. We thank you for your provision that you've had upon us this past week. Lord, as we've stepped out our doors on many different occasions, you protected us from the things of this world that can cause harm to us. You perhaps protected us from sickness that could have come upon our body. Lord, we thank you for your grace in these areas. Lord, now as we have had a full week of hard work, we've had a full week of maybe some trials and maybe some tribulations, Lord, you've now brought every single one of us here this morning for this reason, and that reason is to hear the Word of God be preached. Lord, I pray for myself this morning as I give the message to your people. God, I pray that you would use me in a way that you've never used me before. Lord, I cannot take this pulpit unless you take it first. Lord, I know that you have spoken to me through this text this week. You've allowed me to write these very words down. But God, even with that being said, if these aren't the words you want me to speak this very moment, God, I pray that you would remove these from this tablet here. And Lord, and allow me to speak what you want me to speak this morning. Lord, I pray for hearts that are here this morning that as we gather in this group of this size, Lord, I must believe that there is somebody here this morning that has never truly accepted you as Lord and Savior. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit, as is mentioned in Scripture, will continue to seek and to save that which is lost in this very building this morning, so that they can come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for that one that might be here this morning that has not had a relationship, or they're struggling to even get a relationship with you. Lord, I don't know why that takes place in lives, but I do know that it does. So, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit again would be released upon those that you are trying to seek to have them come back to be in fellowship with you. God, we are nothing without you, and we need you this morning. We thank you for what has already taken place in our classes this morning. Lord, we have some folks that we need to make mention of that need you in their life for healing. We think of the foots that need you this morning. We think of Rosa's son who needs you this morning. We think of Shelly who's going to need you here in the next week. Lord, I pray that you just bring healing to their bodies and bring them back to us quickly. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. We dealt last week with worshiping God in song. We spent a great time in that. And when we sing, we are to lift our voices with a joyful sound. I've looked out here this morning as the gentlemen were up here and as we were singing. I began to look around on some of the faces of the ladies here, and I began to see tears begin to swell up and begin to escape from their eyes and begin to go down their cheeks. And I begin to think, why is that taking place? And I begin to understand it's taking place because they are being blessed, not by our voices, but they're being blessed with a sound that God gave us to sing praises to God. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm so looking forward to heaven when we're able to finally sing in front of our King. By the way, if you're a child of God this morning, He's here with us right now. And with that being said, and this is not even a part of my notes or my illustrations, since Christ is with us this morning, we ought to act and sing as if we're in heaven this morning and He's in His very place. Amen? That's what it means to be worshiping God. That's what it means to be lifting our voices with a joyful sound. When this begins to take place, as we said last week, the Holy Father is being praised and He is being adored. We also discovered that singing prepares the heart for what? It prepares the heart for the message that we are about to receive. There's been some tears that were shed this morning. And while their tears are being shed, they're saying, Holy Father, I want You to minister to my heart through these songs, and I want You to get my heart to be ready to receive the gospel that You have laid upon the pastor this morning. Singing prepares the heart for the message. We also discovered last week why some of God's people don't sing. And the reason why they don't sing is this, because they have lost their joy. I was with a group of men this weekend that had joy in their hearts. And I'm going to give an illustration later on as I get through this. But some don't sing because they have lost their joy. And we discovered why some people lose their joy, and it comes down to the fact because some people battle bitterness. And some people battle hatred. Or they might not even sing because of this reason, because they are not even saved to begin with. So if that is you this morning, if you're sitting in this congregation this morning and you're not able to lift your voices due to these three things, I encourage you to give it to God. Amen. There's nothing worth in this world to carry around bitterness towards another person. There's nothing in this world worth carrying around being hateful towards another person. And I'm going to say that there's nothing worth in this world keeping Christ out of your life. We need Him in our life this morning. We need His salvation. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I feel sorry for churches who gather on a weekly basis and walk into churches and never hear a gospel message. They never hear what it means to be saved. They never hear of what the death of Jesus meant upon the cross. But I do know this. For the years that my dad spent here, 49 years, he preached the gospel. He preached the salvation of Jesus Christ. And for as long as I'm going to be here, I will always preach the salvation of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I have a song within my heart. I'm able to be joyful. I'm able to be rejoicing and to give the salvation message. So with that being said, as we're talking about salvation this morning, an unsaved person cannot worship and praise Jesus. I will explain this. In order for true worship to take place, you must be born again. You must be born again. I will say this. This is why I do not care for any type of celebrity to sing gospel songs. Hey, did you hear so-and-so sing this gospel song? Man, it brought joy to my heart. Did you hear what she was saying? Yes, or did you hear what he was saying? But my fact of the matter is on this, are they saved? Because if they are not saved, they're not truly worshiping God, the God that you and I worship because of our salvation. I should have heard a lot of amens on that one. Why do I say that? Because we worship celebrities. It's meaningless, folks, unless they are a child of God. Before I continue on this morning, I want to say something about the men's retreat that we just spent a few days in. We had only 11 men total from our church and from the other church that was there with us. And because of the joy of the Lord that was in our hearts, I'm going to be honest with you, it sounded like 32 men praising and worshiping God. How does this take place? Because of the joy that God gives us. I'm going to say this too. Men, I'm going to talk directly to you right now. Men, you should not miss out on an opportunity to get away with other church men to worship. You truly missed out. What did you miss out on? Well, you missed out on some fellowship. You missed out on some good preaching. You missed out on some good conversation that was taking place around the campfire. You missed out on the first night as men sat around some who have never met each other before from the other church and began to give their testimony on how Christ saved their soul from hell to heaven. You missed out on the fact of what we were wanting to expect for God to do in our lives this past weekend. So men, don't miss out on those opportunities. Amen. You want to be a better husband, you want to be a better father, you want to be a better grandfather, then support these things. Amen? This passage of Scripture is dealing with the woman at the well. And these are opportunities that we are not to shy away from. This woman had no idea what it meant to adore God. Why? Because she did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within her. Her worship was in vain. Why? Because she knew not who she was worshiping. We see this in verse number 22. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. Why? Because for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus came to her to bring a change in her life that was going to allow her to bring proper worship, that was going to allow her to bring proper adoration to Christ our King. And then once that took place, it would finally have some meaning behind it. Verse number 23. True worshiper. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. What Jesus is trying to tell us here gives us another definition in verse in Luke chapter 19, if you would go ahead and turn there, book of Luke chapter 19. Before I go on, I do want to say this. I am so thrilled that we are allowed to use technology to be a help to you folks. But don't ever, ever let this replace the Word of God. Amen? But in Luke 19, verse number 10, it says this. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. A true worshiper is someone who the Son of God, has come to seek and to save. This is why I said last week why some don't sing. And they don't sing because maybe it's because they do not know of the salvation of Jesus Christ. You know, you can be in this church for years and never accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And if that's you today, I hope and I pray and I beg you as much as I can beg you and as much as I know how to beg you, please, if that's you today, give your heart to God. This world is not worth dying for. This world is not worth the worship. But I do know of a man that is worth the worship. I do know of a man that is worth dying for, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's been seeking you. And for some reason, you keep avoiding Him. Can I just say this? Stop. Stop avoiding Christ. Amen? Can I beg you this morning? Stop trying to hide from an almighty God who wants to give you salvation. Stop hiding from a king who created this world and spoke everything into existence and wants to give you an eternal life. For what reason? So that you and I know how to worship Him. Stop avoiding Christ in your life. Avoiding Christ is the worst mistake that we can make. We cannot depend upon our church attendance for our salvation. We cannot depend upon our tithes for our salvation. And Jesus was exactly what this woman needed in her life. Amen. Jesus is exactly who we need in our life so that we know how to worship Him. He was seeking her. Many people will go out of their way to avoid this woman at the well. But not Jesus. Jesus wanted to bring this woman to a place of salvation because Jesus wanted this woman to know that she had the ability and that she would have the privilege to finally know what it means to worship an almighty God. See, she wasn't worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus knew of this. And so Jesus would go out of His way to go to this woman who was at the well that many men would steer themselves away from, even the women would steer themselves away from. But Jesus went to her because He was seeking her, because He wanted her to have salvation so that she can truly worship Him. And then, through this, she was no longer lost. She was now able to worship Christ. Why? Because she now belonged to Him. Can I ask you a question this morning? Who do you belong to? I'm hearing some comments say, I belong to Jesus. You know, I shouldn't have heard about four or five whispers. I should have heard this whole congregation say, I belong to the Son of God. But maybe with that reaction, maybe we're realizing something here. Maybe we don't belong to Jesus the way we say we do. Stop avoiding Christ. I so bad want those who don't know Jesus to have a song in their heart to worship God. When this takes place, you will then become a true worshiper. Maybe you are a true worshiper of God, but you forgot how to bring adoration to Him. By the way, we forget to bring adoration to God for this reason, because we ignore the assembly of God. Plain and simple. But I want those who don't know Jesus to have a song in their heart. I want you to be a true worshiper. I want you to understand what it means to bring adoration to God. I want you to understand what it really means to praise God. Why does this happen? Why don't we bring adoration to God? Why don't we bring praise to Him? Because maybe it's because we do not have a relationship with God. Maybe it's because you are as backslidden as can be. What do you mean by backslidden? Well, I've accepted the Lord as my personal Savior, but I'm not really living for Him. I'm allowing all the commotions and all the desires of the world to lure me away from Him. And as I'm being lured away from Him, I'm getting away from Him in a relationship. I'm not allowing Him to work in my life. I'm not allowing Him to speak to myself. And as I do those things, I'm shutting myself from God, off from God. And as I'm shutting myself off from God, my worship is lazy. My worship has become casual, and my attendance at church is no longer there. But God wants us, folks, to be worshiping Him. And He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Can I be a help to you today? It's never too late to get your heart right with God once again. And how are we going to get our hearts right with God once again? By dying. What do you mean by dying? I'm not talking about his physical death. I mean giving your life once again to God. Saying, hey, God, this world's no longer worth my attention. This world's no longer worth my praise. This world's no longer worth my worship. And God, I want to give my life to you. I've wasted so much time in worshiping you. I've wasted so much time in not singing praises to you. I've wasted so much time in not adoring you. God, please forgive me. Restore my heart once again so that I'm able to worship you the way you designed me to worship you. It's never too late to get your heart right with God once again. You are His child, and He wants you back, and He wants you back in a bad way. No different than a parent who has a son or a daughter who's gone wayward. They sit there and they worry about their physical condition. They worry about if there's a roof over their head. They're worried about if they have a food in their stomach. They're worried about if they have clothes on their back. And they do this because they reject the love. They reject the guidance of the parents, and they go out into the world. But I know the parent is back at home crying and weeping and just waiting and praying for their child to return home. Jesus, who gave His life for us backslidden believers, is waiting for us to come back home. Why is He waiting for us to come back home? Because He wants us to worship Him. Maybe the problem has been this in your life. Maybe you've served man, or you're serving man, and you've never truly served God. In spirit, Jesus says that true worshipers will worship Him in spirit. Though we cannot physically be with the Lord right now, the best form of worship will be in spirit. And I'm going to show you some places in Scripture. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. The book of Psalms 119. If you're awake this morning, please say amen. If you're glad Jesus saved your soul, please say amen. Amen. If you want to be saved this morning, say amen. I tricked you on that one. But we can see in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 160 through 64. Thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate an arbor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Here you see David worshiping the Lord in spirit. Verse 160, you see David bringing adoration by recognizing that the word of God is true, and it's true right from the very beginning. How do we have proof from this? Turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 1, or you can read it upon the screen. But in John, chapter number 1, it says this. I can say it from memory, but I love reading Scripture. John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says this. Say it with me, folks. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can I explain something to you this morning? What you just did as a congregation, you brought worship to God. Why is that? Because you're reading His Word. Amen? David was able to worship Him in spirit. He recognized that the Word of God is true. Recognizing Jesus is an act of worship by a believer. Today, we are so fortunate that we have the true Word of God. His Word doesn't do us any good by choosing to ignore it. God speaks to us through His Holy Word. It changes lives. And don't just settle for His salvation. Why? Because He has so much more to offer us. I'm glad that He gave us His salvation, but God offers us way a lot more than just His salvation. We see here in the next verse, verse number 61, princesses have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth what? In awe of Thy Word. A heart that's in awe. David's heart, as said in Scripture, stood in awe of His Word. Again, going back to the men's retreat, there are some things that were brought out in Scripture that made my heart be in awe. And you know what stood out to me is the last message, and every message stood out, to be honest with you, but the last message, the focus was this: He is worthy. I stand in awe today. My heart's in awe of God today because He is worthy. Say it with me, folks. He is worthy. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. He deserves us to glorify Him. Again, say it with me, because He is worthy. Amen. To worship in spirit goes even deeper than what we realize. When this is done, our spirit is in sync. Maybe because we don't sing in church this morning, as because of this, we are not in tune with the Holy Spirit. When we are in tune with Him, this allows other things to take place in our lives. You know, it's okay for us to come to church sad. It's okay for us to come to the church discouraged. And I know some folks have probably done that this morning. But folks, even when you're sad and discouraged, when your heart is in tune to the Holy Spirit, that's going to allow you to sing, that's going to allow you to worship God, that's going to allow you to bring adoration to Him, that's going to allow you to praise Him no matter what's going on in your life. Rejoice, verse 162, it says this, I rejoice at Thy Word. As one that findeth a great spoil. When our spirit is in tune with the Holy Spirit, it causes us to rejoice. Not to beat a dead horse here, but when God's children don't sing in church, it's because your spirit is not in tune with Him. You're saying, well, that's pretty mean. No, that's the truth. It's the flat out truth. Verse 154. You got to forgive me. I wrote a lot of stuff down wrong. I came back from a men's retreat. I was a little tired. But 163 says this. I hate and abhor lying, but Thy law do I love. When David was rejoicing, he even found pleasure in the law. So often people believe you give up your freedom when following Jesus. It's so the opposite. Because in Christ, I have found what true freedom is. When our hearts are right with God, we'll even love the law. Amen. How often should we praise Jesus? We find this in verse number 164. 7 times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. I believe 7 is a good number, but it definitely isn't the limit. We should take advantage of the time we have to worship God and to worship God as often as possible. Again, Thursday evening, 11 men sat down and shared their testimony and how they were saved. You know what this was a form of? This was a form of worship. They were doing this in spirit, and they were doing this in truth. I was able for the first time hear some testimonies of men, how they got saved. By the way, we should always hear of somebody's testimony of salvation. Matter of fact, I would like to do something on Sunday nights. Once a week, just have one church member give their testimony. Well, Chad, I can't do that. I get scared in front of the congregation. That's okay. We'll close our eyes. I want to know how you got saved. Why? So that we can worship God together. Amen? This wasn't done in the form of what felt good, but it was done in the light of what is true. Genuine Christ-exalting worship must never be mindless or based in ignorance. It must be doctrinally grounded and focused on the truth of all we know of our God. Amen. To worship inconsistently with what is revealed to us in Scripture ultimately degenerates into idolatry. How are we to worship? In spirit and in truth. Now, I've talked a lot about salvation this morning. But some of us might be here this morning and says, Brother Chad, I can't worship God in spirit. I can't worship God in truth because I know that I'm not a child of God. Can I ask you a question? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting to be on your deathbed and cry out to God then? Let me ask you this. What if you don't get that chance? Well, everybody has a deathbed that they're dying. I know some people that walk out in this world and they get hit by a car and they're dead instantly. You might not get that chance. What are you waiting for? Don't you want to worship God in truth and in spirit? Folks, the last thing I would hate to see is somebody sitting in this congregation, whether it be for 49 years or whether it be for 1 year, and not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I so desperately want that in all of our lives. What are you waiting for? Why are we throwing God on the back burner? Why are we saying that God's really not worthy to be praised? Why are we saying that God's really not worth worshiping? Larry, my God sent his son to not only die for me, but to die for you. And guess what? I don't have to worry about getting my participation trophy of perfect attendance to get my way into heaven. I don't have to worry about handing God all the money that I can give him and say, here you go, Lord, this is my debt. Would you please allow me to come to heaven? All I have to do is say, God, I'm yours. Simple as that. God, I'm yours. I believe in you. I want what you're offering me. And God, now that you're giving me your salvation, and now that I've accepted your salvation, God, I beg you, help me to worship you. God, I beg you, help me to get the understanding, to know what it means to bring adoration and know what it truly means to praise you. We have such a difficult time to do these things for four services out of the week. But let me remind you, we're not going to get away from it, because as a child of God, when we're in his presence, we're going to be doing it for eternity. So folks, I'm trying to encourage you and I'm trying to engage you. Don't wait for the eternity to begin. Do it now. Because he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of us talking about how great he is, how wonderful and how magnificent his name is. He's worthy of those things. I beg you to do those things now. Close the things off from this world. Don't allow those things to draw you away, but allow God to draw you in. And so that we can get on our knees and begin to lift up our holy hands before the Lord and begin to sing praises to Him. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, perfect in power. What a great God we serve today.